I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
6-5, the expert will come out, they'll analyze the situation. They may just put your mind at ease. That would be great. Or they may say, oh, you got this little thing. We could fix it up. If you mention my name at that point, you will get an additional $50 off the repair project. But costs nothing to have them out to let you get their expert analyses of the situation. Again, 541-8765 around the web, redeemersgroup.com.
It's spring. Time to get out of the house and try something new, get together with friends, maybe plan a family gathering, and there's no better place to do it than Bounty on Broad, the beautiful farm-to-table restaurant that makes you feel happy as soon as you walk in the door. Try the brunch menu, which may be the best in town. They've got barbecue Benedict with smoked pork shoulder, green cabbage slaw, and poached eggs. They've got waffle Foster with brandied bananas, whipped cream, toasted almond, and powdered sugar. They've got smoked Gouda grits, braised collard greens, and of course, they have the fried Gulf oysters tossed in cornmeal, which are simply the best fried oysters I've ever had. Add a mimosa or a glass of wine, and at Bounty, because of their unique Coravin wine system, all their wines are available by the glass, and it'll be the perfect meal. Bounty can accommodate private parties from 12 all the way up to 200 guests. It's located at 2519 Broad Avenue. Call them today at 901-410-8131 and add some zest to your spring.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details and safety information.
Guys, do you have trouble going the distance? Do you crescendo too soon? Arrive at the party too early? Is your alphabet A, B?
Oops.
Does your firecracker go off before the 4th? Then you need to go quick as a bunny to 4hims.com because 4hims offers treatments for PE and access to doctors who can evaluate you for prescription options. And right now, get started for just $10. No in-office doctor's visits, no trips to the pharmacy, no high prices. Just the help you want to keep going and going and going and going.
Hurry to 4hims.com and slow down. To get started at this incredible $10 price, go to 4hims.com/distance. The only way to get this special offer is to go to 4hims.com/distance. FORHIMS.com/DISTANCE.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
If it wasn't for bad luck, you know I wouldn't have no luck at all. Hard luck and trouble, been my only friend. I've been on my own.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do the Chris Harrington deal.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and Beyond. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what is this that we're listening to?
That's Born Under a Bad Sign by late Memphis Blues great Albert King, born on this day in 1923.
All right, a little bit about the NBA before we get to some other matters. Clippers won last night, defeating the Warriors. Lou Williams with 33 points. How vulnerable do you believe the Warriors are?
I think, as I said, I think they're more vulnerable than at any time in this run, including the year they actually lost. If I still had to pick one team to win the title, I would pick the Warriors, but I would not pick the Warriors against the field. I think it's more likely a non-Warriors team wins than the Warriors. But if you had to pick one specific team, I still, you know, in other words, if I did the odds, the Warriors at the top of the list, but they're under 50%.
Yep. Okay. If you had to pick a team that was not the Warriors, what team would you pick?
You know, it feels like I'm supposed to say Houston,
yep.
And then it feels like I'm supposed to say Milwaukee, I got a feeling about this Toronto team. And they, you know, watch them lose in the second round to Philly. Like, right. That's a tough second round series. But I just think this Toronto team has the defensive firepower to match up against any of these other teams. They can match up better against the other teams than vice versa, I think. I think they can match up against Giannis, against Harden, against Durant, Curry better than any other team.
Right. No, it'll be fascinating. And that's, I don't know, like, didn't Toronto switch management in the midst of all this too? They
made a head coaching change. The Grizzlies with Lionel and the Clippers right. with Vinny Del Negro. They got
rid of the coach. Yeah.
They got rid of their coach of the year, basically, Dwayne Casey. Yeah.
Interesting. And then you've got the Clippers, who have, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, they've done a really magnificent job of rebuilding. I mean, they have all the cap space in the world. They've got, and they got off the, they got things for Chris Paul. There was a great stat today that Montrezl Harrell has one more made field goal in the playoffs this year than Russell Westbrook, and he has 57 fewer attempts.
All dunks.
He's done. I mean, they've done a great job. And I don't know what Lee Jenkins is doing there or what Jerry West is doing there or who's doing what. But whatever they're doing seems prudent.
Yeah, I think Lawrence Frank. I mean, you know, right. Lee Jenkins and Jerry West are bigger names. But the person running their basketball organization is actually Lawrence Frank, the former Nets head coach. And then Michael Winger, who is his number two, who was Minnesota was trying to get, or potentially trying to get, he's pulled out of that. He's going to stay with the Clippers. And so I think that they've created a really good front office there.
What is going to happen? What are we waiting for now with the Grizzlies? What is going to happen next?
I think they're going to make more front office hires. That's what's going to happen next. I don't know when that's going to be, but I think they've said there will be multiple additional front office hires. I think at least one of those will be, I don't know whether it'll be a recognizable name, but I think at least one will be fairly significant in terms of, you know, maybe sort of commensurate to what Rich Cho is in terms of level. I don't think it's all going to be, sub-staff, but I think they're going to make multiple front office hires. And that'll be the next news that comes out of the Grizzlies. I think that will happen before coaching.
And do you have a sense of what that role might be? I mean, Jason Wexler always said, we're going to let the talent dictate the roles rather than vice versa, which makes sense at some level. But what would this person do you imagine?
I think there's room. There's a couple of things it could be. There's room for more sort of, you know, quote-unquote traditional basketball person from a scouting personnel perspective. There's also room, frankly, for an operational, basically an assistant GM, which is what Zach Lyman was last year. So, like, Zach Lyman moved up. No one's replaced Zach Lyman. And so that sort of operational assistant GM sort of office-y kind of role is currently unfilled. And so I think it could be either or both of those things.
Do you believe they are even now just quietly, unreportedly interviewing head coaching candidates?
I haven't heard anything to that effect. What we learned from the front office stuff is like they didn't make their move and then decide, okay, now we're going to start thinking about who's going to be in the front office. Like, they already knew.
Right.
Like, Rich Cho and Glenn Grunewald were already basically on the job in a different capacity. And so I'm sure they have an idea of what direction they're headed, probably. But I had Kevin Artemis on the podcast, you know, for Daily Memphis yesterday. Yep. And he said, we've been talking about waiting until after the lottery for them to do a coaching hire. And I've made the point that you need a job description to hire someone. They can't really have a job description to me until after the lottery. He thinks they should wait until after free agency. He thinks they shouldn't try to hire a coach till mid-July.
Because what the hell's the hurry? And you're I guess one of the theories would be you're quote-unquote missing on people.
I mean, you're missing on one or two people if those are the people you want. I mean, again, there's only, everyone says there's only 30 of these jobs, right? And so if the Lakers are going to hire someone, Cleveland's going to hire someone, Phoenix is going to hire someone. So those are three jobs. So those are three people you would quote-unquote miss on if you want one of those three people.
Well, and
but who's to say that's who they want?
And it also stipulates that you would get them if those three, A, you would have to want them, and
right.
B, they would have to pick you over them. And I don't know if there's any job other than perhaps, I mean, the Lakers job has its complications, obviously, and
well, they all do. That's why they're open.
That's why they're open. The Phoenix job right. does. But I'd rather have the Phoenix job than the Memphis job. I'd rather have the Lakers job than the Memphis job. I might rather have the Memphis job than the Cleveland job. J.B. Bickerstaff is being mentioned for the Cleveland job. What say you?
Before I get to J.B., yes. I think the Lakers job, you know, it sort of takes precedence. The other thing is all four of those teams are in the lottery. And the lottery is May 14th. So let's talk about what looks more attractive on May 15th.
Right.
And so that's going to sort some things out. It wouldn't surprise me if J.B. Bickerstaff got another head coaching shot somewhere. I don't think it's not a Mark Caparelli situation where you look at it and say, yeah, no. That is not the J.B. Bickerstaff thing. And to me, he was a borderline firing. He's a borderline hire. And so I'm rooting for him. I really like J.B. I hope he gets another shot, and it wouldn't shock me if he did. I would be surprised if he got that Cleveland job, but – you know, I think he's got a good reputation. He's obviously someone who people like to deal with. And his strength in Memphis seemed to be more of the player development side, at least this past year. And that's certainly what Cleveland is probably going to be focused on.
Okay, you've got a whole bunch of stuff up at the Daily Memphian that people should go read. And it does not all have to do with the Grizzlies. You've got a Memphis 10 op, which is and the lead item is about disappearing outdoor basketball courts. Is this true? It's a phenomenon?
Before we get to that, I do want to tell people, a lot of people probably just don't listen to podcasts, but if people listening to this, they listen to things. People should really go listen to that podcast I did with Artemis. I think that's one of the best ones we've done, and he has a lot of really interesting things to say about Grizzlies-related stuff.
Okay. Everyone go listen to the Kevin Artemis podcast. How do people find it, Chris?
You can go to the Daily Memphian site and you can find it there. Most people, you know, get podcasts on their phone. So wherever if you're already a podcast person, wherever you would go, Spotify or Apple Music, iTunes, Stitcher, any of that, it's available on all of those things. You can also just go to the Daily Memphian site and to the Grizzlies page and listen to it there.
Okay. On to the Memphis 10, disappearing outdoor basketball courts. This is actually a thing?
In my experience, it is. There were half a dozen courts I played on when I was in high school, which wasn't that long ago, and they're all gone now. All of them, every single one. And then we had a story. What prompted that was we had a story. Abigail Warren had a story this week about Farmington Park in Germantown and sort of some tension or disagreement over the future of its basketball court. And in the story, she notes it is the only outdoor public court left in Germantown. The only one. And she references another thing about 15 years ago in another park in Germantown where a court was taken up, which I remember that story from the time. And so I don't think this is a Memphis-wide thing. I think it is a middle-class, predominantly white Memphis thing where just the outdoor public court, like, you know, you show up and play, is basically a thing that's disappeared. It's become more structured and regimented. It's more indoors. It's either at your home or it's indoors
at your church, you know, schools, or your community center. Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, where there's sort of barriers to entry, and it's sort of a little bit more protected. And so, the old just go to the park and shoot hoops. It's not a thing that's gone. It's a thing that's gone in sort of those kind of neighborhoods.
Right. Well, two things. One is I think the have a hoop in your driveway and shoot hoops is still there. But the old go to a park and shoot hoops in suburban neighborhoods. It's funny because in urban neighborhoods, you see all the time, and look, Grizzlies opened a new basketball court here, and so-and-so opened a new basketball court here. And so it feels like, I don't know if this is true, like every week I'm reading about some new urban court being opened. But it's, in the suburbs, people want the air-conditioned church gyms rather than...
We use euphemisms, urban and suburbs. I'm talking about the University of Memphis area in East Memphis, like that's not the suburbs.
Right.
That's Memphis. Those are urban areas.
Right. Yes. Okay. So fine. That's fine. We use Uber. Let's be honest. It seems like middle class white people like to play in churches, and we build more and more outdoor courts. It feels like are built for in the poorer areas of the city. Yes.
Yes. I mean, I think it's and part of it is tied up in race and class, and part of it is just a general trend towards sort of play being structured and sort of protected, and which I think in a way that goes beyond those issues, right? Where everything is organized and sort of, you know, hovered over a little bit in the way, and I sound like, you know, the old man who walked up to.
But it's true, though. It's true. How much of your youth, let's just put it this way, how much of your youth, how much of the recreation of your youth was structured and how much was unstructured?
Well, I grew up in a small town, which is a different thing, and so it was totally unstructured. But even when I moved to Memphis when I was in high school, so the 3 years I lived in Memphis as a teenager, it was what I wrote about. And we would just show up, hey, let's meet over at, I don't know, I didn't want to name the places, but so-and-so church, they got a hoop in the parking lot, right? And so if you go on a Saturday, like, nobody's there, you're just playing. We used to do that all the time. Or we would go, honestly, there used to be a hoop at Audubon Park I would play at. There was one at Sea Isle Park I would play at. There were some outdoor courts at the University of Memphis that just anyone could just roll up and start playing. They weren't fenced in. You didn't have to have a card or, you know, do that all the time. And so not just athletics, like everything I did was like that. It was like, you know, being in Peanuts. It's like I barely even knew my friend's parents existed. We were just sort of doing our own thing.
We do sound like old people, but it's absolutely right. I played sports every single day after school. That's what I did in my neighborhood. I either played street hockey or I played football or I played basketball.
Yeah.
And every single, and literally I never belonged to a basketball league ever. I never went to a clinic ever, which you could tell by my shot, but I never went, like, I never, literally anything. I did have, like, I thought I was so lucky because I got once my parents gave me 10 indoor tennis lessons, like, once a week at the indoor tennis center. In Buffalo, it's hard to play in the winter tennis, so it was a good thing. But that was the only structured activity of my youth, period. Now, Brad, you've got kids. How much is structured?
It's all structured.
Everything is structured.
All of it.
Yeah, it's pretty much all structured. No, there was a vacant lot in our neighborhood, like a grass vacant lot, right?
Yeah.
We'd play football, pick up tackle football, like, you know, 4-on-4 or whatever.
Yeah.
We used to play baseball with a wiffle ball bat and a tennis ball, and, like, you got people out, like, throwing the ball at them. And, like, that's just what we did all the time. Yeah.
It's difficult because of the socialization part of the equation. I'm not even talking about the athletic part of it, because, like, Jake is growing up in the world we're talking about, but I'm just like the two of you, where it was organic wiffle ball games. We had a dunk rim. We did all this crazy stuff. We were gone for days, almost like a day, and didn't even know, like,
well, and also, you didn't have a cell phone, so your parents had no idea where the hell you were.
No, all, like, day. I'm talking about a day. Yeah. I also, like Chris, grew up in a small town, so similar situation.
By the way, I just got a text from someone who said that in Atoka, and this fits into all the worst parts of what
you—that's rural. So,
yes, no, this is not about this. This is back to the previous topic. It said in Atoka they were talking about building a outdoor basketball court, but people objected because it would bring in quote unquote the criminal element.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, in Germantown there was recently a news story, and I was just looking. Channel 24 did it about cursing at the basketball. Outdoor basketball area at Farmington in Germantown. And so there is an element of that sort of cynic skepticism, the element thing.
I mean, that's literally that's the story I sort of left off of, which we had, Bill Miffy did, Abigail Warren did, about the goal at Farmington, which there are some specific issues there because it's adjacent to an elementary school.
Yeah.
And so I'm not really writing about the Farmington thing specifically. That was just more an inspiration to leap off of.
Right. It's not only that we want to play basketball inside as suburbanites. It's that if we have an open court, you never know who's going to show up to play basketball. That's there is that racial element to this entire discussion. Okay, Chris, a couple other things, and then I'll let you go. One is you have a personal crusade to save people's lives as they cross the street at Highland. How's that? How's the crusade going?
I mean, they're making progress without my help. I just sort of noted the progress. But I'm someone who frequents the Highland Strip now, and it is one of the most dangerous places in Memphis to be on 2 feet instead of 4 wheels. And so I'm not even like a college student who's there at 10 p.m. who's kind of sauced, right? And so I'm sure it gets worse. But they are they're in the middle of a major sort of streetscaping project there to try to slow traffic down and make it safer. And I think that is greatly needed. Between that and, like, the bridge that goes over the railroad tracks, it's a much safer place to be a student these days.
And then finally, I believe you broke the news of the Levitt Shells summer lineup, starting with who?
North Mississippi All-Stars, who's not the first time they've led it off, but 30, you know, they do – They do 53 shows every year. The first 30 will be the summer series, and the fall series will be 20 shows. So we've got the first 30. The full schedule is in the article. Starting, I don't have the date in front of me, but starting, I believe, late May. Is that right?
Yeah, it's so funny how it works with that. I mean, that thing has become so popular that it's like the old Yogi Berra line. It's so crowded that nobody goes there anymore. You know, it's jammed. But it's
May 9th is the first
one.
It's been a
fun thing. Anyway, people go to the Dave and Memphis, check that out. Listen to the Kevin Hartovitz podcast as well. Thank you, Chris. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks.
By the way, it is getting to be mosquito time. I'm about to take the cover off my pool, and the problem with having a pool sometimes is you can't sit out by it because there are mosquitoes. You will be consumed alive by mosquitoes. You will not be, however, if you get in touch with my friends at Jameson, because they can take back your backyard from the mosquitoes. Mosquitoes can lay 200 eggs at a time. What they have is a program that basically lops off the breeding. And so they stop the breeding, therefore they stop the mosquitoes, therefore they stop the mosquito bites, therefore you get back your backyard. It's incredibly it's not an obtrusive program. You're not poisoning everything in sight. They stop the breeding of the mosquitoes, and it begins roughly now. It begins in late April and goes through September. So in addition to having them work on your lawn and pests and everything else, why have your summer ruined by mosquitoes? 452-1505, 452-1505, or jamesonpest.com. When we come back, Steve Farese played with Johnny Newman, one of the greatest Memphis basketball players, one of the best basketball players this city has ever produced. Johnny Newman died Tuesday, and Steve Farese is going to join us in the next segment. Jeff Calkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.
At Indeed, we believe a resume is a great way to see an overview of a candidate. But you're not hiring a resume, you're hiring a person. That's why Indeed offers tools that help bridge the gap between a candidate and the resume. Like skill tests, which let you actually see a candidate's abilities in action to make sure they're a good fit for the job. See beyond the resume with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN.
Hit the green with today's Perks deal. Get half off two rounds of golf, each with cart rental, range balls, and meal from Riverbend Links. Get yours today at GetMyPerks.com.
Hi, Amy. Welcome to the Xfinity store.
Yeah, I'll get straight to it. I'm looking for the fastest internet.
Well, with Xfinity, you can get the fastest, most reliable internet, and you can pause your in-home Wi-Fi for family time.
Wow, internet that's crazy fast and reliable? It's like a cheetah that you trust enough to house-sit your pets.
I don't know if you should trust a cheetah with your pets.
Well, you're the one who said he's crazy fast and reliable.
No, I said Xfinity XFi is.
Just like the cheetah.
We're still talking about internet, right?
It doesn't matter. I'll take it.
Get speed, coverage, and control with Xfinity XFi. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Xfinity lets you customize your own package and save. Learn more. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $30 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Plus, add XFi Advantage for enhanced network security. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay, and 6/30/19. Restrictions apply. New performance starter, 25 megabits per second internet customers only. Actual speeds vary. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply.
Hey, it's Felicia from Felicia Suzanne's Restaurant. When was the last time you were downtown for dinner? Why don't you stop by and see us? We're located on Main Street between Madison and Monroe Avenue with parking on Front Street. Looking for a fun place for lunch on Fridays? Join us for our 25-cent martini lunch. You can start with a bowl of chicken and sausage gumbo, braised short rib grilled cheese, or crispy Gulf seafood po' boys. Check us out at FeliciaSuzanne.com.
Broadcast.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. I'm joined now by Steve Farese, of course, a well-known lawyer, also former Ole Miss basketball player who was teammates with Johnny Newman and who passed away earlier this week. Steve joins me now. How are you, Steve?
I'm fine, Jeff. How are you, sir?
I'm good. You were awfully gracious to join us. I know you've been working on memorial services and everything else, and sad day to learn that Johnny Newman had passed. I don't think most people even... What we remember when he sort of when he came back from his various international travels, but I believe his daughter was being treated at Le Bonheur, and then sort of I think people lost track of him again, and I didn't realize even that he was ill. So it came as a shock. I gather you did, and you'd been in touch with him here through his last months.
I have. He became ill in the late fall, and had of course a very serious and ended up to be fatal illness, but he was very private about those things, and that's perhaps one of the reasons you had not heard.
Yeah. How good was Johnny Newman?
As good as I've ever seen. He was 6'6". He had a long wingspan. He could handle the ball with anyone, and he was a lights-out shooter.
You said in the column that I wrote today, you said he was as good as anyone you'd played against, and you played against Maravich. Is that really he was as good as Maravich?
In my opinion, he was. And of course, you'll have people argue that, but it's really hard to compare them because Pete was more of a showman, and Johnny was concentrating on putting the ball in the basket.
You were a year. How were you? You were what year relative to Johnny? How many? He only played that 1 year, obviously, of varsity basketball at Ole Miss, right?
That's correct. At that time, you know, freshmen could not play varsity basketball. I was a senior, Johnny's sophomore, and only varsity year.
So there you were at Ole Miss when Johnny Newman arrives on campus. I'm sure you knew of him. Had you seen him play before, during his days in Memphis or not? As a high school kid, or is the first time you really saw him play when he showed up on campus?
I had not seen him play. Of course, I'd kept up with him in the news and mainly the commercial appeal, and back then the Press Cimeter kept up with him. But had one of our assistant coaches, who I knew very well from high school basketball, had seen him play, and I queried him about how good is this guy, and his eyes got big, and he said he's like something I've never seen.
So he shows up, and what's the reaction? How does that – obviously he plays for the freshman team first.
You know, we would at time have scrimmages with the freshmen, and, you know, it was just remarkable. And, of course, we compared him to Maravich as far as his ability was concerned. He was cocky. He was, cocky slash confident. He was like a ghost as far as being on campus because he kind of came and went as he pleased.
Is it? But before I get to that part of it, like you were there when he scored 62 one night, 60 another. Like, what were those like?
Well, he scored 63
against LSU. At
LSU, and that was back then. They had regional television. That was pretty much all you would see on the SEC was one game, maybe a week. And it was, if I recall, it was an afternoon game in Baton Rouge, and he just went nuts. I don't think George Patton could have stopped him that day.
And as a teammate, was the goal simply to feed Johnny? He took 50 shots against Kentucky, I read. was this, quote unquote, within the flow of the offense, or was it just Johnny's show and you guys were there to feed him?
It was Johnny's show, and there wasn't any question about that. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, when you play with someone that good, it causes you to question your ability. And, you know, you would get in situations where maybe you would have a better shot than he had, but you would still give the ball up.
You mentioned that he came and went. Was it a disservice to Johnny that he was allowed to? I mean, in the column, you sort of sometimes he'd show up for practices. Sometimes he'd be late for practices. Didn't stay at the dorms. Came and went. Was ultimately that a disservice to him that he was allowed to do that?
I think so. I think any young man, you know, at that age, you're 18 years old, you know, full of vinegar and obviously a legend, at least in high school and one in the making. I think you need structure. I think anyone needs that. He did not have that. I think it would have complimented him had he had that.
I gather, I mean, you mentioned his ego and that, but you, I mean, you were his friend. Is that right? I mean, you were his, probably his best friend on the team. And I don't know, how did you view him? Because he wasn't all that popular among his teammates, and yet you were his friend. You saw things in him. What was that dynamic like?
Difficult, but I've always had this disease, I guess you would call it, of being for the underdog and thinking, and when I say that, the underdog socially, that I could change people. And it was, and I think it was also the fact that I was watching something that I knew was special and hope to guide him a little bit.
It's amazing, you drew, you made the point that he and Archie were on campus at the same time, which is startling to think about, because Archie was even a bigger star, of course, because it was football and he was Archie's from Mississippi, everything else. And here's Johnny, and they could not have been more different. Archie with his absolutely bone to the bone humility, I guess, is, did they know each other? Like, did they, were those the two big men? I guess Johnny wasn't even a big man on campus because he wasn't on campus, but they were the antithesis of each other, these two?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, Johnny and I always kidded him about it. Johnny was more of a northern kid, and that had that kind of city wise guy approach, and Archie was a country boy and grew up with more humility, and I think it was environmental.
Yeah, it's sort of, yeah. I mean, obviously he moved here from Ohio. He moved to Memphis from Ohio. His brother played on the at what was then Memphis State, and so that's when he arrived here, and he was a star from the beginning. Okay, so he leaves after the 1 year of varsity play, and then has what I think he would say is an unsatisfying plays a bunch of years between the NBA and the ABA, and then coached everywhere. It was suggested to me, I think Kyle Vesey wrote this in a story, that yes, he was looking for other jobs and the next opportunity, but that he was also sort of, one of the reasons he didn't come back to Memphis or Ole Miss much was because he hadn't become what he wanted and thought he was supposed to have become. There was a sense of, I don't know, that he sort of exiled himself as much as anything. How did it come to pass that he spent so much time overseas?
Well, I think when he finally left the NBA, he was able to get coaching jobs overseas after he played a few years
Yep.
overseas. And it just went from there. And, you know, sometimes life kind of grabs you by the neck and pulls you along. And I think that's what happened with him.
You reconnected with him, and I don't know if you've been connected with him all through this time or not, but it was actually after Kyle wrote that story about his about how he wanted to come back. His daughter was ill and needed treatment. She was ultimately treated at Le Bonheur, I believe. You reached out to him at that point and agreed to help? Is that how it came to pass?
Well, yes, it was something like that. But really, Johnny was afraid to come back. Johnny felt, like you said, that he had self-exiled and that the people of Memphis held that against him and the University of Mississippi held that against him. So he was really... serving penance for something that did not exist.
He had imagined that people had formed this opinion of him that he was something, and he was serving penance for it. And so he comes back, and he actually lived with you for how long?
I would say 4 or 5 months.
That's
and,
unbelievable.
And, those were times of... talking about what was and what was to be, and how that I felt that everyone accepted him. And, you know, we're all flawed people. Nobody's perfect. Of course, he ends up going back to Ole Miss and getting his degree. And that's no easy task at that age.
Now, someone said at one point he was living with his wife and child in student housing at Ole Miss. Is that true?
And that's correct. And you know, it's kind of ironic. That's where I started out because I was married early on in college, and he was staying at the place that I had started.
No, that's fantastic.
Wow.
And so he goes back and he gets a degree. And the whole story feels a little like, and of course, you were featured in this as well in the piece that ESPN did on him, The Rebel, I think it was what they called, and it was very well done. So he comes back, he gets his degree, he has his moment in the Ole Miss Hall of Fame, and he's it feels like sort of the region wrapped their arms around him again, or at least that's from afar. Isn't this nice that Johnny's having these moments? But did he ever come to feel at peace with all of that? With the did the fact that he got his degree, did the fact that Ole Miss re-embraced him, did all of that give him some degree of contentment and peace with how his life had transpired?
Yes, to some degree. But I don't think Johnny was ever satisfied with his lot in life that was, of course, self-created. And he knew he could have done better. And the fact was, of course, he could have done better. But at that age, you know, there are certain things you can and can't do.
Right. Yeah, no, that must be hard. Because you envision this other path for yourself. I'm sure he did. But, I mean, we all, as you point out, we all are human. We all make mistakes. We all don't always make the right choices. You visited him several weeks ago, and you said his last words to you were?
To make sure that his wife and daughter were cared for.
And his daughter is just 14, I believe. Youngest daughter of his is 11. And I don't know if there's going to be any kind of a effort to support them that we might be able to publicize going forward. But they're obviously going to. I don't really know their circumstances. But do you think there will be any sort of education fund or anything else to help. It's sort of interesting that in his final moments, this guy who was portrayed as a me guy all along, that his final moments with you, at least, were take care of my wife and daughter.
Right. You know, I want to say this, Jeff. When Johnny was in his prime, he was one of the most generous people I've ever seen.
Hmm.
In fact, I remember going to his home one time, and he had all these Superfly leather dusters, I called them, you know, which were apropos for the time.
Right.
And he said, you know, grab one. He had them in all different colors. And of course, the way I was raised, you didn't do that. And I thanked him, and I said, you know, no thank you. But I know a lot of people that took advantage of his generosity. He was a very generous soul. Also, another thing people don't realize about him, and it may seem counterintuitive, but he was very religious. So, you know, of all his faults, there were a lot of good things about Johnny, too.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. He really had a deep faith throughout all of this. And it does seem counterintuitive. You hear about the flashy cars. What kind of car did he drive when he was there at Ole Miss?
Well, of course, the answer would be, which week are you talking about?
But, oh, my goodness.
I know he had it at that time. He had a white Trans Am, and the rumor was that he drove past the athletic building one day, and this car also had, if I recall properly, and you know how the years fog things, that he had Johnny Rebel on one side and his number on the other side painted on the car, and the rumor was that's what caused Vault's, Coach Johnny Vault's, first heart attack.
There's not at this point any word on the memorial service. Is that right? Do we know when? Or,
well, we're in the planning. Of course, this happened quickly, very quickly, faster than any of us envisioned, and the university is working on a memorial service as we speak. And I want to say this, too, that the university has really, really wrapped its arms around Johnny's family, and they are doing yeoman's work to try to get this memorial service, because some of Johnny's children are coming from Europe, and there's a time window in there to work with.
I got you. Well, we appreciate it, and thanks for the work that you are doing on this. Oh, totally unrelated question, Steve. It is going around the internet today. This is the question. Jobs that you have had. What in you know, did you ever work a paper boy? Like, growing up, before you became this distinguished lawyer, fighting for the underdog, what are jobs you held in life?
Oh, my gosh. I worked as a teenager in Michigan and Ohio as a brush clearer.
What? Oh, as a brush clearer,
Yeah, which was an eye-opener. It seems like that must have been planned by my parents. And I also sold real estate, I think, when I was 20 years old in Arkansas on a summer, you know, between college. And the rest of my work
was all legal.
You know, nobody's asked me that, Jeff, in a long time. So it's
I'm sorry to spring it on you. That's quite a selling real estate is quite a summer job in college.
Especially without a license.
Especially without a license.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, thank you for taking your time and pointing. I really do appreciate it, and for your thoughts on Johnny Newman.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thanks. That is Steve Farese, who's a tremendous lawyer and was a great teammate and friend to Johnny Newman. Johnny is, here's the question, Brad, is how do you deal with, Johnny Newman isn't the first player who has squandered his gifts, right?
Right.
Or not even squandered, not made the most of his gifts, right? That list that you could, is an endless list
yes.
of people who have not made the most of their gifts, right?
Yep.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we all, I think, have things that if we could do them over, we would do them over.
Yeah.
I certainly have things that
absolutely.
If I could do over,
everyone.
I would do over. But when your gift is so incandescent as Johnny Newman's, mm-hmm. when you were as good a basketball player as Pete Maravich, and you become sort of this, like, how do you handle it without
yeah. –
here's the interesting thing. Do you know what's happening this weekend?
What?
The Overton class of 1969,
right.
that's his class,
mm-hmm.
is having their 50th reunion this
oh my.
Weekend.
Wild timing.
Isn't that wild?
It
so,
is.
So, like, that's the year they went to the
played Melrose.
They played Melrose at the Mid-South Coliseum.
10,000 people.
10,000 people
packed.
Showed up, packed, all black Melrose, all white Overton.
White.
Melrose actually won that game. It was Larry Finch against Johnny Newman. It was like all of that. That class is having its 50th year reunion this weekend. And so Johnny Newman, who played such a big part in that. But here's the question. In the people who go to that reunion, how many of them had the talents that Johnny had?
None of them. None of them had. None of them.
I mean, some might have had some talent.
No, in other fields. Not as acclaimed.
But even then, I bet there was one who was as gifted in their field as Johnny was.
Well, no question.
But in terms of satisfaction with their life.
Right.
Of the people who go back to that reunion, I bet 95% of them are happier with how their life turned out. If you ask them, are you happy with how your life turned out?
Yeah.
I bet most who go back to that reunion will say yes.
Well,
don't you think?
Yes.
And I think Johnny would say no if he were still with us.
I think he would say no. That story sort of replays itself in many lives, especially with successful people in many chosen professions. Sports is the obvious one because we're on a sports station. But I had one question for you,
yes, sir.
I know you may not know the answer to this, but people listening might. And that is, you said his brother went to Memphis. Johnny Newman's brother went to Memphis, and he chose not to go to Memphis. He chose to go to Ole Miss. I wonder how it would have played out differently. And obviously, you know, you had Larry Finch going to Memphis, and you probably had some other things at Memphis that he wasn't interested, clearly, if he would have went to Memphis or what happened there. I don't know the backstory on that. I'm sure somebody listening does.
Well, two things. One is he could have gone. In my column today, I point out that I talked to one of his high school teammates, and one day his high school teammates said, they were like, who's that old man in there with Johnny Newman? Is that his grandfather?
Mm-hmm.
And someone said, no, that's Adolph Rupp. And then another time they used to play pickup games at this girl's house near Old Colonial Golf Country Club. And the girl's mother, like they played there all the time.
I saw that.
The girl's mother would stick her head out and say, Johnny! Coach Wooden is on the phone.
Oh, my God.
And so he could have played
anywhere.
If he had gone to play for Coach Wooden, hey, maybe he wouldn't have lasted a week.
Maybe his leadership could have helped him.
Maybe he would have changed.
Maybe. I think so.
In terms of why he didn't go to Memphis, John Virgos, in a comment to my story on the Daily Memphian, well, I'll tell you what I do. I will.
This could be our big
he
test.
Has this.
Good.
He has an explanation as to why he didn't play for Memphis.
Okay.
We will make that.
There you go.
The one story that you've been waiting for when we come back. It's the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Memphis with crazy good players, unicorns, and now crazy amounts of cash. It's Unicorn Cash. Win yours starting Monday every hour from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m.
Wow, my goodness.
Listen at the top of every hour for the code word. Text that word to 72881. Data message rate supply national contest. Memphis with crazy good players, unicorns, and now crazy amounts of cash.
This is crazy.
From 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, this is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about Cooper Systems for years, the amazing work that Lee and Lauren Cooper have been doing at Cooper Systems over in the Mount Moriah office park. In fact, for 8+ years, because Cooper Systems, they've been a sponsor of the Gary Parrish Show since day one, and they've never left. That's a testament to them. It's a testament to you, and you've heard me tell you about the great work they're doing at Cooper Systems for a long, long time. Now it's time to hear from you guys.
Got a great deal on an Apple Mac from Cooper Systems, literally half the price of the big box stores I just searched before I heard about Cooper.
From the road a lot, and one day my laptop got the epic blue screen of death, and I thought I lost all my files. Cooper Systems was able to retrieve everything and even installed a new drive to make my computer faster and better than ever.
I'm one of those people Gary always refers to as the looking up stuff you're not supposed to guy. Yep, that leads to computer viruses. Cooper can take care of you, and like the ad says, they won't judge you.
That's Cooper Systems. Call them 360-9679 on the web. You can check them out at coopersystems.com.
Get more 92.9. Download the radio.com app now and make sure your favorite 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis.
Have you been denied credit? Are you paying high interest rates because of a low credit score? Join the thousands of people who've relied on creditrepair.com to help rebuild their credit score.
I went to get
my first car, I had to get a used car, high interest, and so I knew that things were done from there.
For over 15 years, we've helped thousands with their search for solutions to credit issues. We communicate with you, your creditors, and the credit bureaus with a unique approach designed to remove items like late payments, collections, charge-offs, liens, bankruptcy, and foreclosures that are unfair or inaccurate.
And I've gone up 40 points already.
There are many services offering to tell you your credit score and even monitor it for you. But what good is just knowing your credit score when what you really need is to fix it? Credit Repair members see a significant improvement in their credit scores month after month. Call now to get your no-obligation credit consultation, including your free credit score and free summary credit report. Don't delay. Call 800-253-4409. That's 800-253-4409. 800-253-4409.
Most auto repair shops do what's best for them, which helps their pocket. But Madison Automotive cares about your goals and needs of your vehicle, so they do what's best for your situation, unlike any other repair shop. Ask about our million-mile warranty. MadisonAutomotive.com.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Well, the list keeps growing. First, John Martin is getting plantation shutters from Affordable Blinds. We know that. Howie Kay from Robert Irwin Jewelers is going to Affordable Blinds. A certain FM DJ from this station is getting outdoor blinds. You know, the outdoor
shutters. Ron Olson?
I'm not sure that I should reveal that it's Ron Olson.
Right.
I don't know that Ron Olson would want his business out there.
No,
like
I don't
want
to just put people's business out. He is the FM DJ on the group.
But hypothetically, it could be that Ron Olson needs outdoor shutters. And so who did he ask me? He asked me yesterday for the number for Affordable Blinds.
Nice.
There was a guy on Twitter who said Affordable Blinds' number, and it so happens that they had a glitch yesterday, and so the phone number wasn't working.
Oh, no.
And so it is.
You overran them.
We overran them. There's a reason for that, ladies and gentlemen. It's because Affordable Blinds can transform the inside of your home with new motorized blinds or cordless blinds or plantation shutters. Also, the outside of your home with these new beautiful shutters that you have outside that make the whole thing look snappy. That's what hypothetical Ron Olson might be interested in pursuing. You too can see Chip Wiggins. He'll come out to your house, give you an estimate. And within a couple weeks, it can be done. 753-5822. That is the number that we've been overrunning. 753-5822. Go to this Facebook page, Affordable Blinds and Shutters, and take a look at all the videos there. Or go to the website, affordableblindsofmemphis.com. All right, let's get to the one story you've been waiting for.
It's that time again on 92.9. Jeff and Jeffrey have kept you hanging long enough. It is, at long last, the one story you've been waiting for.
Shout out to Jeffrey, by the way, wherever he may be. I think he's got a wedding.
He's got
a wedding.
Yeah, he's at that age where it's like wedding city.
Right. There's different. There's the graduation, high school graduation period.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the college graduation period, followed quickly, often by the wedding period.
Yes. The wedding period can be difficult.
Then the part that isn't public, but that usually happens next is the get a dog period. Get a dog period.
Okay.
John's in that. That's where John is now.
Yeah, he's in a pre-kid period.
And then there is the have a kid period.
Yep.
And then you're going to reveal parties, which we didn't have.
gender reveal,
all that stuff.
How can I have forgotten?
And you're going to showers, and you're doing that. And then after about 5 years or 4 years, then there's the divorce period, right?
Yeah.
And then it's just the
how about the take your 95-year-old parents to Disney period?
And then there's the take your 95-year-old parents to Disney period as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jeffrey's in the wedding period, so he's not his own personal wedding. We'll let you know when that happens, but it is going to the wedding period. Okay. The one story that you've been waiting for, you asked me why.
Johnny Newman
did not go to Memphis. His brother played at Memphis.
I want
to
know this.
He was a star at Memphis.
Yes.
He actually did later play with Larry Finch on the Memphis Tams. And then, oddly enough, he was actually traded for Ronnie Robinson in the ABA. He was traded for Ronnie Robinson. And at one point, he had a good year under Hubie Brown in the ABA.
Mm-hmm.
His career was not what it should have been. But why did he not go to Memphis?
Right.
This is from John Virgos, who has commented on my column at the Daily Memphian about Johnny Newman. And this is what he says. There was a story going around. So this isn't gospel. There was a story going around on why Johnny Newman didn't play for Memphis. Johnny's older brother, Bob, played for Memphis in the early to mid-60s. He was a great player. However, when his playing days were over, he lacked a semester to graduate. When the school refused to pay for the last semester, he told them, quote, "I have a little brother who will be one of the greats. I promise you he will never play at Memphis State," end quote. Virgos adds, "I heard that story from many people. Too bad the university didn't have good sense. What a team we could have had with Larry, Ronnie, and Johnny."
And the biggest difference.
Does that sound real?
I do believe it. But you know what the biggest difference is 50 years later?
Now they would have not. They put it would have paid him instantly.
50 years later, that bill would have gotten taken care of.
Absolutely.
It would have all been great. Everybody had been happy, except if you're Tubby Smith.
Did you see, by the way? Yeah, Tubby might have stood
up. Tubby would have blown the whole thing up.
Did you see, by the way, what the new Adidas deal with Kansas?
It's ridiculous. Is it $190 million? Yeah. $195?
So,
by the way, the company that begrudged them, quote, or
they
whatever.
They begrudged them. Here's what happened.
Kansas, quote, unquote.
Kansas in the whole recruiting deal.
Yeah, yes.
Right?
Right.
Kansas in their recruiting deal released statements saying that they were the quote unquote victims.
Victim. Right.
They were the victims of a evil plot by Adidas to pay their players, and they had nothing, and they were the victims in all of this.
This is remarkable.
And now here we are, less than a year later, something like that, roughly a year later, and they have signed a deal with the same school,
with
the entity that victimized them. They're the folks who perpetrated this horrible crime on them. They have signed a deal with them for $190 million. I think we can understand here that Kansas, these were never victims. They were co-conspirators.
Totally. It's a team. They're together.
They're working together. The idea that they were victims is just absolutely nutty. Totally 100%.
Well, and I had
nutty.
Read in Pat Forty's column. Pat did a pretty good job. If you want to read Pat,
pointing this out. Right.
They had offers. Well, there were discussions with Nike and Under Armour. The money was actually less. And they were saying part of that is because Adidas actually truly needs Kansas to keep that deal, because that's obviously a prominent school, and they can't really afford because Nike and Adidas are doing
so well.
What
is coming up next?
Here's what's coming up next.
We have Mike Wallace talking Grizzlies and more at 11:25 with Jason and John. Jason and John at 11. Derrick Henry, the Titans running back, at 12:15. The NFL draft, of course, they're talking about that. Rock legend Carlos Santana at 12:45 today. His concert is this weekend at Stone Grove. We've set it up at 12:45 for the show. And then, Jeff, you will join them.
Now, is that the real Carlos Santana?
The Carlos Santana. Black Magic Woman.
You told me Tim Duncan was coming on.
I know, and I had the wrong Tim Duncan. That's because they didn't explain when it was the Memphis Tiger Tim Duncan.
Carlos Santana?
No, I actually helped. This is booked through the station, and apparently it is Carlos Santana. As long as he calls in, he'll be on at 12:45.
All right. So don't miss it. 11 until 2.
Greg Buckner's on Eric's show today, the former assistant coach, or maybe he's still the assistant coach. I don't know. He's working with Memphis, the Grizzlies, at 3 o'clock. And Gary Parrish is on with John at 4:25. By the way, you're on at 5 again, and the draft is live here at 6 o'clock tonight. Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You got out of here. Work is done.
So if UCLA had covered the buyout, would he have left? And Rick Barnes said, "I think I would have been the coach at UCLA."
Damn.
You don't say this.
This doesn't happen.
Jamie Dixon acted like, man, you know what? I'm so happy to be at TCU.
Thanks. That's what you do.
Basically told him I don't want to, I wouldn't be here if they had taken care of this buyout, which is basically, I didn't want to be here.
My question would be, what is the benefit to saying
taking that money? I was out of here.
Why say
it's
that?
It's the Jason and John Show. Weekdays, 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. 92.9 WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. Home of Golic and Wingo. Weekdays from 5 till 9 a.m. 92.9 FM ESPN. A radio.com sports station.
I think we can all agree that T-shirts are awesome. And if you need T-shirts for your business, reunion, school, church group, etc., go to the place that made T-shirts for the Jeff Calkins Show, Memphisity Design. Started by Alec Wilson, a native Memphian, Memphisity Design will design and print custom T-shirts to set you apart. They've got amazing service and lightning-fast turnaround. They can handle orders from 20 T-shirts to 20,000. Check them out online. You'll find nothing but 5-star reviews. So contact Alec Wilson at alec@memphisshirt.com or go have a look at their website at memphisshirt.com. It's the place that made my show's T-shirts. Let them make your T-shirts. Edwards, too.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company in Horn Lake. Melissa Cookston, the owner, has won 8 world championships, so she sets the standard high. Ribs are cooked multiple times per day to give guests fresh from the cooker quality, and when you order a pulled pork sandwich, the pork is hand-pulled right then and not a moment earlier. If you've been to Memphis Barbecue Company, you know it's legit. If you haven't been, go. It's at 709 DeSoto Cove, just off the interstate in Horn Lake. Check them out on the web, memphisbbqco.com.
Some of us like the indoors, some of us like the outdoors. IKEA Memphis has something for both. Like when the rest of the family is barbecuing in the sun, and we're in the shade with a hammock all to ourselves. Whether you spend the spring outdoors or bring the spring indoors, visit IKEA Memphis to find furnishings like extra seating and colorful dinnerware to refresh every room of your home for less. Visit IKEA-USA.com for details. IKEA, make the dream yours.
Hey, babe, you know that skateboard?
Oh, no. How bad?
A sprain, maybe a break. We're headed to the...
No, not the ER. Go to Campbell Clinic after hours in Germantown or South Haven.
We don't have an appointment.
You don't need one. With Campbell Clinic after hours, you can walk in, get treated, and get home.
Okay, we're headed there now.
Campbell Clinic Orthopedics, the official...
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.